Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hello, good evening. Here we are again. It's Deserted Island Disc on a Wednesday, live in Sheffield. Yes, it's another sunny evening. Very, very hot here in the studio. So I hope you're all feeling lovely and warm out there, wherever you are and wherever you're listening. So tonight, we've got a man who's from my home, well, from my home county, County Mayo. So it's Niall Hines. Hello, Niall. How are you doing?
Hiya, Ben. Good to be here.
It's great to have you on board. Yeah, so as I was saying, so we've done this show now for about 6 months. I had lots and lots of guests, but we've not had anyone from Mayo on. So all day, all week, I've been telling everyone, oh, it's going to be great. We've got a man from Mayo on. I've put it on social media. This is going to be the best county. And then today, I've just learned there's a dark, dark secret in your history. What's that then, Niall?
Yeah, allegedly, I happen to be in Dublin at the time of my birth, unfortunately. I very much consider myself a Mayo man. And if you ask my father, he'll say I was born in Mayo. And if you ask my mother, who was there at the time as well, she'll say I was born in Dublin. But I identify very much as a Mayo man.
It's good your mum was there, though, isn't it? I think, yeah, take her word for it.
I'll stick with the Mayo for now. It's been 36 years of delusion at this point. We'll not ruin a habit at this point.
So anyway, it's great to have you on board. We'll talk a lot about Mayo, but well, let's start in Dublin then. So do you remember much of your Dublin life?
Well, I never actually lived in Dublin. Okay. We lived in Kildare
when
I was younger. So both my parents met, they were both members of an Garda Síochána, the Irish police force.
Yeah.
And they met in Kevin Street in Dublin. So they were both stationed in Dublin when I was born. And it wasn't until 1994 that we moved down west when I was 5. The only things I can really remember about Dublin was getting the bus in from Leixlip into Dublin to see my grandparents. My grandparents lived in the city centre of Dublin, the north inner city, just off North King Street. So I've many fond memories from visiting my two grandparents there.
Okay, are they still alive?
No, my grandmother, she passed away in 02, and my grandfather passed away about six years ago. He was the last grandparent to pass away, so I was very lucky. Any time I came home from England, when I was going into Dublin Airport, the first port of call was Linenhall Parade in Dublin to see him.
Okay, so you'd have some fond memories of Dublin, and still got family there, I suppose.
Yeah, I've got my uncle still... still lives in Dublin, and still have a good few friends that knock about Dublin as well. So we'd always kind of stop off whenever we're passing through.
That's it. And I mean, we'll come on to it a bit later. But if you're watching County Mayo, Galway in the football, and whenever they play at Croke Park, have you been to watch them? Or?
Yeah, I've been to Croke Park. Unfortunately, there's been more bad days than good. I think I've seen us win once. When I've been in Croke Park, and then there was a draw against my wife's county, Fermanagh, back in 04. But unfortunately, the history of Mayo football, as well, you know, Ben.
Yes.
I think since I was born in 1989, we've lost the All-Ireland final 11 times. We've won it approximately none.
That's so impressive.
it's not the greatest record.
Have you been to any finals?
Yeah, I was at the final in 04 and 06, where Kerry hammered us on both occasions, unfortunately, but it teaches their resilience, so
it does, yeah,
you know, you
yeah,
can't complain about it too much.
And then again, it's probably jumping ahead a bit, but you've kind of picked a football team, haven't you? You changed your football teams, the soccer team, sorry.
Yeah, well, in keeping with teams that lose finals, I'm now a Blade, so I'm a Sheffield United fan. I was originally Man United growing up. When you grow up in Ireland, the vast majority of people, and I suppose it is because of the diaspora, it would have been Man United or Liverpool. You'd have a good few supporting Leeds as well. So I grew up a Man United fan. My father supported Man United growing up. And when I moved to Sheffield in, I think it was around 2012, I decided to, I wanted to support a local team. So I dropped down two divisions. I certainly wasn't glory hunting.
Yes.
The Blades were in League One at the time. But yeah, no, I've had happier days in Bremer Lane than Crow Park, I'll put it that way.
Well, okay. But I've just clicked on that connection of losing finals as well.
Yeah.
It's all right.
To quote Mrs. Doyle in Father Ted, maybe I like the misery.
Yes. His face has changed when I brought that up then, so I'll move on. Maybe, I mean, so this is Deserted Island Day, so people who've not listened before, what we do is we get someone who was born in Ireland and now lives in the Sheffield, South Yorkshire region to come on the show and talk us about their life and play a few songs that mean a lot to them through life. So we've got a treat tonight because Niall's a great whistle and flute player. So towards the end of the show, you're going to play us a few tunes on the whistle.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Which would be great. But to start, we're going to play some songs. So we've been chatting a bit. We should probably play a song. So your first song, do you want to tell us a bit about it and why you've picked it?
Yeah, so keeping on that Mayo theme, The Green and Red of Mayo by the Saw Doctors. The Saw Doctors are a band from Galway, actually, but they've written the best song about Mayo that we have. It was just, it was one of our favourite songs growing up. You know, at football matches, the crowd would be singing it in Crow Park and that kind of thing. It's the kind of thing they play at the end of a match if Mayo have won, so unfortunately we haven't heard it as much as we'd like to. But yeah, The Green and Red of Mayo by the Saw Doctors.
Lovely.
Oh, the green and red of Mayo, I can see it still. It's soft and craggy boglands, it's tall majestic hills, where the ocean kisses Ireland, the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me, stay forevermore, forevermore. From its rolling coastal waters, I can see Crowpatrick's Peak, where one Sunday every summer the pilgrims climb the reek, where St. Patrick in its solitude looked down across Clubay, and with the ringing of his bell called the faithful there to pray. Majestic hills where the ocean kisses Ireland and the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me to stay forevermore, forevermore. Stay forevermore.
wonderful. The Green and Red of Mayo. Ah, yes, it's a great song, isn't it? I'm in a great band as well, the Saw Doctors. Still going strong, aren't they?
Still going, yeah. They've gigs coming up in England now in November.
Yeah.
So they're still going strong, thankfully.
Are you going to see them?
Every time they're playing a gig, it clashes with something like the St. Vincent's GAA dinner dance or something like that. Yeah. So one of these years I'll get to see them. You know, they've been going for a long time. I'd want to be making it sooner rather than later.
Oh, have you never seen them? Oh.
I have. We actually, going back to my school days, we won a competition our school when we were in, when I was in secondary school, for the Saw Doctors to play a gig in our school.
Wow.
So got to see them. Yeah, yeah, didn't have to go too far at all to see them. They were brilliant.
I mean, I've seen them a few times. I saw them at the Plug in Sheffield, which is like, you know, a medium-sized venue, decent, but they seem to have got bigger and bigger. Like, they're playing like Finsbury Park and places now, aren't they? And they're huge.
They've gotten a lot bigger. And, you know, I've met the amount of people from Sheffield that would have no Irish connection that I've met that really enjoy the Saw Doctors. Were able to tell me what, you know, all about them more than I was able to tell them about them. So they've got a big appeal, not just in Ireland, but you know, America and England in particular.
Yeah. Well, the last place I saw them was at McHale Park.
No, you're the home of Mayo football.
Yes,
yeah.
Good. Yes. So again, it was just I went to a match there, and they were the pre-match entertainment. So it's, couldn't have done much better. That's very good, and I think we won that game as well.
Even better.
So anyway, back to you. So we've established that you're actually born in Dublin, but we won't mention that again.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that any longer now. Yeah.
And then you got to Mayo when you're age 5. So we should say, what year were you born in, Niall?
So it's 1989.
Yeah.
Yeah, we moved down to Mayo in 94. My dad was transferred down the country after getting promoted. We moved to a village called Ahamore. We were just kind of outside Ahamore for a good while, and then in the end we actually moved in just outside Ahamore itself. So I went to school in Knock.
Yeah.
Which would be fairly famous around the world as one of the sites of an apparition of the Virgin Mary, the Irish version of Lourdes or one of those places. So I went to school there. That's kind of where I got me first introduction to traditional music and that kind of thing. Had a lovely teacher called Paddy Ryan that taught us as kids. Started off in the tin whistle and then graduated to slightly bigger instruments as time went on.
Fantastic, yeah. So were you... any music in the family, or was it just school?
No, mam and dad would, in fairness to them now, they always kind of say that it seems to have skipped a generation or something like that. But my dad, you know, he'd be up for singing a song. But my mother, you know, she was always heavily involved. She's great at encouraging us to get into music, even when we, certainly for me, when I was slightly younger, it wouldn't have interested me as much as it does now. I would have preferred to have been out the field playing football or something like that.
Yeah.
But she persisted and she persevered, and I'm very grateful that she did. But she'd be work with Coltis Coltairi Éireann, which is the body, if you've heard of the Irish Fla, you know, the big Irish music.
Yeah, yeah.
She'd
just had it in Wexford.
Had it in Wexford. It's going to Belfast for the first time ever next year. But she'd be heavily involved in that organisation, particularly in the province of Connacht in the county of Mayo.
Okay, right. So they must have had the flair in Connacht at some point, and your mum would be involved then.
She would go to the All Ireland Fla most years. She'd be involved in that, and the running of the Connacht Fla. You know, for those that don't know what the Fla is, it's basically a big music festival, but it's a competition as well where people compete with each other in the different categories, you know, playing the flute, playing the whistle, playing the accordion.
All-Ireland champion was it still is a thing.
Hugely prestigious.
You really never felt you could...
No, I competed the odd time. I never enjoyed the competition part. I always enjoyed the, you know, playing as a group, but the competition part... I never had the flair for that.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, isn't it? It's because I remember saying to a great fiddle player friend of mine, Pat Walker, who played in Fagans, and said, oh, there was this fiddle player that had come over from Limerick and he was playing in Sheffield. And I said, oh, is he better than you or not? And Pat would go, it's not about being better. You know, it's about music and enjoying each other, and there's different styles and stuff. So it's difficult. It's different, isn't it? I suppose it's a bit strange having that competition in a thing that's a thing of beauty, and is a bit kind of subjective, in it, about kind of what's
You know, you can... There's two ways of looking at it, certainly, and I was very much on the side of the fence that I enjoy playing. It doesn't matter what level you're at. I'll play Twinkle Twinkle, or I'll play a hornpipe or whatever. You know, music is music from that point of view. But, you know, I suppose that is how Irish music has excelled, and the talent has gotten to where it is today, and people have made names for themselves is through that competition.
Through the competition, yeah, fair enough, yeah. I suppose people pushing themselves further and further. Yeah.
Exactly, it's something to aim for.
Yeah, so we keep drifting off, which is great. I knew this would be a good show, Niall. Just we'll chat and chat away, but we do need to talk about you, I'm afraid, some more.
So go for it, yeah.
So let's talk about. Do you ever got siblings, and what was life like from? I suppose from the early age, from like 5 up to your teenage years.
Yeah, I was very lucky. I had a very happy childhood. I'm the eldest of three, so I have a younger sister and a younger brother. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed my childhood. You know, living in a city now, you kind of really appreciate growing up in a rural, you know, the fact that if we wanted to go for a walk, or, you know, go riding your bike or anything like that, you never felt and there was any danger or anything like that. My grandparents, my dad's parents, they had a farm, and dad was, you know, he'd have kind of taken over the farm as the years went on. So that was kind of part of growing up on a Saturday morning. One of my really happy memories is when I'd been about 7, 8, 9, 10, every Saturday morning going down to allegedly help my dad with the farm, and how much help I actually gave, I don't know. But, you know, you'd be, you know, I'd adopt one of the cattle or something like that and look after that one in particular. And I think he was doing very much the lion's share of the work. He was working despite me being there.
Yeah. So whose farm was that, sorry?
So that was my grandparents originally. So my dad's parents, just not too far from Kilkelly.
Yeah, yeah.
Just off the M17 in Mayo.
Okay, so your dad was kind of going back to Mayo when he got a job, is that?
Yeah, so he was going, so my dad's originally from, he was born and reared in Mayo.
But he went to Dublin.
And went to Dublin as a guard, yeah.
Yeah, he came back, yeah. Okay, got you. All right. We probably should play another song. So you've got Cliffs of Dunoon next. Any particular reason?
Yeah, Cliffs of Dunoon kind of reminds me of summer holidays. We'd be, you know, driving down to Wexford, or the odd time we'd take a long old drive over to France, and Christy Moore's album, Live at the Point, 1994. Yeah. That was played on repeat it was just a song I always associate with holidays. And the Cliffs of Dunoon is very important to me personally, because the night I met my wife, I was singing that song in the grapes, and she came up to me after I sang that song. So I always tend to joke it's the most expensive song I ever sang.
Okay, well, let's play that then. Cliffs of Dunoon, Christy Moore.
You who may travel far, far from your own native home, far away are the mountains, far away are the foam. But of all the fine places that I've ever seen, and there's none to compare with the Cliffs of Dunoon. Take a view o'er the mountains, fine sights you'll see there. You'll see the high rocky mountains on the west coast of Clare, and the towns of Kilkee and Kilrush can be seen from the high rocky slopes of the Cliffs of Dunoon. It's a nice place to be on a fine summer's day, watching all the wild flowers that ne'er do decay, and the hare and lofty pheasants are plain to be seen. making homes for the young round the cliffs of Dooney. Farewell to Dooney, farewell for a while, and to all the fine people I'm leaving behind. To the streams and the meadows where late I have been, and the high rocky slopes of the cliffs of Dooney. Travel far, far from your own native home, far away o'er the mountains, far away o'er the foam. But of all the fine places that I've ever seen, and there's none to compare with the cliffs of Dooney.
Hey, well done, Christy. He's not a bad singer, that fellow, is he? He does all right. So, yes, here we are again on Deserted Island Disc, live on Sheffield Live on a Wednesday evening with my guest, Niall Hines. How you doing? How you feeling?
Good, yeah, enjoying it.
Me too. So we were talking about your time in Mayo, and I still can't say the name of your little village.
Ahamore. Yeah.
That's it, yeah. I've been to that part of the world. I've been to Kilkelly and Cuachamock and Knock, of course. It's a lovely part of the world, isn't it? And the people are so lovely there. I really like it.
Yeah, no, it's a lovely quiet village, and you know, all that's in it is a church, you know, two pubs and a post office, and that's
all you need, isn't it?
That's all you need when you live in the west of Ireland, really. Lovely people. I really enjoy any time I get to go home, you know, just catching up with people there, and just even things as simple as going for, I was home there about 3 or 4 weeks ago to see the parents, and it was a beautiful summer's day like it is today. And just going for a walk, and my God, you don't appreciate the beauty of where you come from when you live there, yeah. But when you go back, you really, really do.
Yeah. Oh, it's true. Wherever you are, yeah. So, what was your life like there when you were younger? You're getting to your school years and teenage years. What was going on then?
Yeah. So, you know, I suppose I'd mentioned the music already. My other big love is playing Gaelic football. So I played for the underage team in Ahamore, from about 6 up until about 18 throughout my school years. I'd say if my talent had been matched by my enthusiasm, I'd have turned into a great footballer. But unfortunately, I suffered from a crippling lack of ability that has continued to this very day. But I have really happy memories from playing for Ahamore. Anytime you got to get on the pitch, you when you're a young lad, you're looking up to all these footballers on the television. That's where you want to be. You want to be on the pitch playing football. And then I went
to... who would Ahamore play against?
We'd have played all over Mayo.
And
so Kilkelly didn't... Kilmavie was kind of the local team. Ballyhaunus would have been our biggest rivals.
Okay.
I went to school in Ballyhaunus, so you had a number of different local parish clubs would have sent their kids to the secondary school in Ballyhaunus. So coming up to the county championships and stuff like that, I do remember the under 14 final. We were playing Ballyhaunus in the East Mayo final. So all that week, the build up in school, you know, there was a big rivalry there. Thankfully, Ahamore were the victors on the day. So, you know, there was a particular amount of pride walking into school on that Monday, the day after beating
Ballyhonus.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to this day, whenever I'm more playing Ballyhonus, I'm refreshing the phone, trying to find out what's happening.
So you still play football now? Yeah,
still playing with St. Vincent's. Probably coming towards the end of my footballing career, unfortunately.
What do you reckon?
There's another few years in me. I'll keep going as long as they'll have me. And you know, there's a difference playing over in England. You know, when you're kind of being part of that diaspora, you're not just playing with people you grew up with. You're playing with people from all over Ireland, people that have never played Gaelic football before.
Yeah.
It's one of the really nice things about the club in St. Vincent's, a really welcoming community of people. I've loved every second being involved with St. Vincent's. It's a cracking club to play for.
I mean, we might as well talk about that now you've mentioned it. I mean, it's kind of later on in your life, wasn't it? But I believe you were there kind of near the beginning of it, was you?
Well, no, I came the year after.
Year after, okay.
Yeah. So the club was well established by a fantastic group of people by the time I started rocking up to training. I think 2019, the club was formed in 2017, the autumn of 2017. I started playing in the spring of 2019.
Yeah, so it was Michael, obviously, that started the club. But the women's team started then, or?
Yeah, they started at the same time. It was founded with a men's team and a women's team. The women's team recently won the Yorkshire Senior League. A fantastic achievement for them. They've been coming on leaps and bounds. And the men's team, you know, with the Yorkshire Championship coming up in the next few weeks, they're training fairly hard for that. The strength and conditioning is going in the WhatsApp group every week. So we're doing our best to keep up with that.
They've done fantastically well. So a brand new club that started, as you say, 2017, but like first kind of season 2018, and pretty much started winning straight away, didn't they?
We wouldn't say we started winning straight away. First few years there was a few, you know, tough games and that kind of thing. I think it was 21, so 4 years in,
was it?
Things just seemed to click, and the success has grown and grown, and you know, lads coming to training now and the women going to training, you know, they want to train hard. They want to make the club successful, and not just on the pitch, but off the pitch, in terms of, you know, hosting traditional music nights and, you know, the fundraising we do.
Yeah.
And the kind of, the football is obviously that's why we're there, but you know, it's the camaraderie you make off the pitch,
the community that, you know, is there.
It's so important.
And I suppose you've made lots of friends there, and I don't know how to talk about your wife, really. So that she was kind of the meeting of your wife, and how all that happened. Maybe we should play a song first and tease the audience with the fantastic stories and moments about me meeting your wife. So should we do the Highwayman for now?
Yeah, the Highwayman, yeah.
So any reason you picked this one?
No, I enjoyed the wee bit of country music growing up, particularly the Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings. So the Highwaymen were a super group of Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, and I think Willie Nelson was in it as well. So you had the cream of country music, and the Highwaymen, I think it's just a song I've always enjoyed listening to.
Okay. Highwayman.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive.
I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went aloft to furl the mainsail in a blow.
And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed. But I'm living still. I was a dam builder across a river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wet concrete below. They buried me in that gray tomb that knows no sound, but I'm still around. I'll always be around, around, and around, and around. I fly a starship across the universe divide, and when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again, or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will remain, and I'll be back again and again and again and again and again and again.
Oh, Highwayman. Thanks for that choice. Lovely, lovely. Thank you. Yes. Yes, while we're doing the show live, I've got my mother WhatsApping us. My mother, who's a big Mayo, Achill Island, and she's saying, that's enough about football. How did you get to England? So maybe we should move on. We've got less than half the show left, and we should talk about your journey to Sheffield. So go on, talk us through what happened when you left Ireland first.
Yeah, so the reason I came to England was to study. I studied to be an optometrist at the University of Bradford, and I suppose to cut a long story short, I applied for any job in Yorkshire. I really enjoyed my time in Bradford. I wanted to stay in Yorkshire. I'd gone very, very fond of it, and I got given Sheffield. And I remember the first thing when I got given Sheffield, I was like, brilliant, because we'd grown up watching snooker. You know, the home of snooker, the Crucible. I said, brilliant, I'm going to get to go to Sheffield. So I worked out in a Specsavers in Crystal Peaks for 3 years as an optometrist. I did my pre-reg.
So tell us, what is that, an optometrist?
So an optometrist, is it better at one or two? Is it clear on the red or the green? We're the people that test your eyes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So That's what I've been doing for most of my life, is testing eyes.
Okay, is that what's the difference for an optician then?
So an optician is kind of an overarching term. So you have the optometrist that tests your eyes, so brings you into the room and you're reading the letters and puts the lenses in front. You have a dispensing optician that deals with the dispensing of spectacles. You have a contact lens optician, and they deal with contact lenses. So they're the different types, yes. An optometrist, it was originally an ophthalmic optician, was what we were called, but they've changed it to optometrist since. Why, I don't know. I should really look into that at some point.
Bummer. So you studied that for 3 years at Bradford, was it? Or?
3 years at Bradford, yeah.
And that was, what was life like there? So was were you enjoying this student life?
Loved it. Oh, thrived. You know, I think I really came out of my shell in Bradford. When I first there, my friends used to say I was 19 going on 70. And I think I'm my own age now. I've had the Benjamin Button effect. But no, I really enjoyed it there. And then the time in Sheffield, enjoyed it so much. I went back again to do further study in Bradford between 2014 and 2019.
So you were working in Sheffield.
Yep.
And did you find like the Irish community that first time? So this is, what year is this, sorry, now?
So this is 2011.
So around 2011.
Yeah, 2011 when I moved to Sheffield.
So, I mean, the grapes wasn't really going. Did you go to the Dog and Partridge Fair?
Well, I did go to the Dog and Partridge the first time. And I was told, this is the Irish pub, you're going to absolutely love it. And I went in and there wasn't one bit of Irish paraphernalia on the wall. I think there was magician posters. And what had happened was the dog and Anne Flynn and the dog had moved to the grapes the month before.
Yes, yes.
So I didn't know at the time that's where the Irish community
and
was.
They wouldn't tell you, would you? No one would tell you, you're in the wrong pub, mate. You want to go upstairs and spend your money there?
Well, they weren't going to tell me where it was. So it took a while, and apologies to your mother, but it was through the Sheffield Hallam Football Club, Gaelic Football Club, that I found my way to the grapes eventually. But that's all. That's all I'll talk about football.
Well, no, we ignore her. I've been ignoring her for years. So yeah, so did you go to the grapes then back in that first stage?
Yeah, that's I'd have with the footballers, and gradually I kind of got into the music in the grapes. It was through people like John Dowling, Mick McMahon, John Burney, Reg Heath, all sadly no longer with us,
now,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
They kind of, you know, I'd played music and I kind of stopped for a long time, but gradually they coaxed me back into it.
Into playing, yeah. So you'd go in on like the Monday night session.
The Monday night session was the session I really enjoyed. I kind of went in, I was just listening. You know, I'd moved to Sheffield. I didn't really know that many people. It was a little bit of home.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what got me back in. And John Dowling and Mick in particular, they kind of said, well, do you play? Do you sing? And I said, God, I don't sing at all. You know, that's changed now. But I can play the flute. Yes, but there's normally under circumstances in the grapes. So I let you.
Alcohol.
Alcohol normally loosens the vocal cords a wee bit. But yeah, it was John and Mick, and they kind of got me into it. And gradually I started, I brought the flute back over the next time and the tin whistle, and kind of started playing a few tunes. And the way I've always kind of learned, I'd be no good at reading music. I've always kind of learned by ear.
Yeah.
And I was listening to them, and you might play the first part of a tune with them and then listen to the second part, and maybe after 2 or 3 weeks you'd be able to play the full tune with them. And the odd time, they were always very generous, you know, with their time. Do you mind if I record you playing that tune, and you'd pick it up through that,
and you'd learn it at home for the next week.
Be able to play it with them the next week, because you know, the more tunes you can play with them, the more enjoyment you get out of it. But they were two very, very special people.
They were, yeah. I mean, Mick in particular, I mean, it might be boring for our listeners, but I think just to get across really is that they would, I mean, there's so many people in that community, in those places, that are just so welcoming and encouraging. So if anyone's like thinking of, you know, they can play music at home and want to play it in public, it's still very encouraging. You still go on a Monday night.
Yeah, you know, I still go on a Monday night. Dennis Carmody runs the session. Dennis, again, another great influence. It was probably Dennis that got me into the singing. I used to do a duet with him, the Green Fields of France.
Ah, yeah.
And I don't know who was trying to out-sing the other person when we were doing that. You weren't going to out-sing Dennis.
No.
But yeah, like it's still going, and it's one of those sessions that's very, very welcoming. You know, it doesn't matter if you can play one tune or you can play 100. Yeah. Everyone gets their turn, whether it be singing a song or playing a tune, doing a recitation, saying a poem, whatever you want. But it's you know, comes back to that whole thing of community. You've got people that come from the Irish diaspora, people have no connection to Ireland, but again, everyone is welcome.
Yeah. So, talking of those times, we've managed to find a song from one of the guys you mentioned. What do you want to say a bit about it?
John ran the session on the grapes and in the dog before for, you know, many, many years. He was a fantastic concertina player. He held records for, he was a walker.
He was
very famous in the walking community as well. But this is the Galway Shawl sung by the great John Dowling.
Near Avonmore, in the county Galway, on a pleasant evening, in the month of May, met a damsel. She was young and handsome, and her beauty fairly took my breath away. She wore no jewels, nor costly diamonds, no paint or powder, not a nun at all. But she wore a bonnet with a ribbon on it, and around her shoulders was a Galway shawl. We kept on walking, and she kept on talking, till her parents' cottage came into view. She said, "Come in, sir, and meet me, father, and play to please him the foggy dew." She wore no jewels, nor costly diamonds, no paint or powder, not a nun at all. But she wore a bonnet with a ribbon on it, and around her shoulders was a Galway shawl. She sat me down all by the hearthstone. I could see her father, he was fine and tall, and soon her mother had the kettle singing. But all I could see was the Galway shawl. She wore no jewels, nor costly diamonds, nor paint or powder, and none at all. But she wore a bonnet with a ribbon on it, and around her shoulders was a Galway shawl. I played the blackbird and the stack of barley, on Lanny's glory and the foggy dew. She sang each note like an Irish linnet, and the tears they fell from her eyes of blue. She wore no jewels, nor costly diamonds, no paint or powder, and none at all. But she wore a bonnet with a ribbon on it, and around her shoulders was a Galway shawl. Was early, early, all in the morning, I took the road to Auld Donegal. She gently kissed me, and she said, "Goodbye, sir, now my heart remains with her Galway shawl." She wore no jewels, nor costly diamonds, no paint or powder, not a nun at all. But she wore a bonnet with a ribbon on it, and around her shoulder was a Galway shawl. Around her shoulders was a Galway shawl.
Lovely. Well done, John. That's from a recording, a CD that was made back in 2003 by... it featured all the people that were singing in the Dog and Partridge at that time. And next week's show, I'm not having a guest, but I'm going to play that CD. There's some cracking songs in it, some great people. So, yeah, tune in next week to hear more songs like that. So I've got my guest Niall here on Deserted Island Disc. Time is running away with us. We've got so much to talk about still, so let's crack on. I want to talk about, so you love Sheffield, but I think Sheffield loves you as well. You've done so much for Sheffield. And I think also, I've met your mum and dad, and your dad in particular. He seems to enjoy Sheffield.
Yeah, no, mum and dad would be over to, they try to get over about once a year to Sheffield, and they've always really enjoyed, you know, going down the grapes and, you know, that Monday night crowd. They all know my parents now, so yeah. And every time I go in, you know, it's the amount of people that ask after them.
Yeah.
So I'd be bringing them then during the week. Dennis was asking for you, Linda was asking for you, Mick and Liz were asking for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, they love coming over. Dad's been over a good few times, and this will kind of solve two stories in one. But he came over when Sheffield United were in the Premier League, and we went to see the Man United game.
Yep.
And I told him before we went in, him being the Man United fan, we were sat together, and I just said, look,
in the Sheffield United end,
you know, which is normally, but like, you know, he doesn't mind too much. But I just said, don't be drawing attention to yourself. You know, like, you know you're going to be in the home end. So if Man United did score, you can't really celebrate or anything like that. So I just kind of explained that to him. And we were sat at the front row in the south stand, and the Sky Sports camera came over and kind of indicated to me dad. He was on the television. And I can only describe his reaction to Maradona at the 1994 World Cup when he went mad at the camera. That's exactly what my father did, screaming, okay. Come on, United.
Yeah.
And I still don't know which one United he was talking about. But I tell you, we went back to the grapes then after, and there was a few of the Sheffield United players, and you never saw a man as quick over to get his picture with John Egan.
Yeah. I was there that night, yeah. I saw him, yeah. It was a great night. It was a 3-3 draw, wasn't it? Great game.
It was a 3-3 draw.
Sorry, Mum, talking about football.
Yeah, Man United were 3-2 up, and Ollie McBurney, I think, scored the equaliser right at the end, and
right.
I pretty much jumped on him at that point, so I did.
Oh, you're front row, get in there. Great stuff. Well, as I say, time's running out, so we've got your treat for us now, if you don't mind. If you're ready, you're going to play... Is this a reel, is it?
So it's two jigs.
Jigs.
The Blackthorn stick and the Kesh jig.
Okay, there we go. This is Niall.
Thank you.
fantastic. Now it sounds beautiful.
The worst thing you can do as a musician is think, oh, this is going well. And that's normally when you make that mistake, as I did the first tune, but...
Well, I didn't notice. I don't know whether it's only you notice.
I very much noticed. But anyway, we'll get over that fairly quickly.
That was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Fantastic. Now, do you have names of that? Was it two?
So two jigs, the Blackthorn Stick and the Kesh Jig.
Very good. Very good. Lovely. Thank you. Thanks for that. And you're going to, we'll probably end the show with another one of your live renditions. But we need to talk about your wife, and I'm sure there's lots of stories about that. But we can talk about, let's start from the beginning. How did you meet her?
Yeah, so Sheffield has been very, very good to me over the years, and the best thing that ever happened to me in Sheffield was meeting my wife, Helen. So that was the same weekend that I was chatting about that Man United game that my father was over. We came in the second night to the Grapes again, and... I went into the back room and he went into the front room to listen to the music. And like I said, I sang that song
So you sang.
So I sang the Cliffs of Dunedin, and at some point Helen had come over and said, you know, you sang that very well. And my eyes very much lit up at that point. I don't think my father saw an awful lot of me for the rest of the evening. You know, we kind of became friends.
That was how it started,
and gradually kind of got to know each other as time went on. Now, just as things were getting interesting, I got a job down in Cambridge at Anglia Ruskin University, which kind of had the potential to. Well, I don't think it ever did, but it certainly had the things to make things interesting. But I said, look, I'll go down for a few years, and the first chance I get to get back up to Yorkshire, I'll do my best to get back up. And it gave me, you know, not that I need an excuse to be going back to Sheffield or anything, but, you know, it was nice to be coming back up to Sheffield at weekends and that kind of thing. And Helen will come down to Cambridge as well. So that's kind of how that started.
So you had a long distance relationship.
Yeah, we had a long distance for a wee while, and then I was lucky enough to get a job lecturing at the University of Huddersfield, where I remain to this day.
Well, how lucky was it? I mean, you must have been trying to get jobs anywhere in the region of Sheffield for some time.
It was funny. I'd agreed with my line manager. I had a very understanding line manager down in Cambridge. And like I said, can I you know, work from home on a Monday or a Friday just to kind of spend more time in Sheffield? So that was going to be the agreement. And we agreed that in July, and the week after, the job in Huddersfield came up.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, okay, well, we've agreed this for the year. Should I go for the job? And I was just like, you have to. This opportunity mightn't come up again. So I did, and thankfully got it.
Amazing.
That was...
So you lived in Sheffield from that point, as soon as you got the job in Huddersfield?
Yeah, so once I got the job in Huddersfield, that would have been May 21, moved back to Sheffield. I've been here very happily. Ever since.
And when did you get married?
So we got married. It'll be our.
Oh, don't want to put you on
just
spot.
Checking that. Just checking here. It'll be our second wedding anniversary in 13 days.
Oh, congratulations!
So we're married 2 years. We went back to Helen's hometown of Rosslea, and got married there. And the most incredible day. Enjoyed every second of it.
And so you both played the Gaelic football, and you're a big part of that community, aren't you,
you know, Helen always jokes. I don't know if she is joking. She was at the club before me. She always said it was her club, and I was just a blow-in, which technically is true. We've been part of the club together now for, 2018? So, you know, we've always shared a lot of interests, you know, running and, you know, the football and, you know, travelling together. You know, there's no other person I enjoy spending my time with more than Helen.
Oh, great. I know. And she's you're a lovely couple, the pair of you. It's fantastic. So, well, if you play your last tune, and then hopefully we'll have a little bit of time at the end just to say goodbye to everyone and thank you very much for the show. So, do you want to introduce this song?
So this is a slow air. It's called The Coolin'. I played it on our wedding day. the most nervous I ever was playing a tune. When you play Irish music, you're supposed to play the tune twice. You kind of repeat it.
Yeah.
And I played the tune once because it went so well the first time. I said, there's no way I'm going to tempt fate and try to play it again a second time. So I only ever played it once on the wedding day, but it was grand.
Beautiful. Oh, that's lovely, that, Niall. That's very haunting and melodic. Well, what am I trying to say? Yeah, very haunting, beautiful.
No, it's a nice. I forgot who wrote it. It was a tune my mother always wanted me to learn. It was a kind of an added surprise. I'd never gotten around to learning it. And I said, A, it's a beautiful piece of music, but B, on the day, it'll be a nice surprise for my mother as well.
Oh, yeah. And was she suitably surprised?
She was very happy.
Yeah, yes. What was it called again? Sorry.
The Coolin.
The Coolin. Yeah. So, and that's Niall Hines treating us there to live, flute playing. Is that what you call it?
It's a low whistle. It's the size of a flute, but it's not a sideways. It's more of a vertical instrument than a horizontal instrument.
Oh, that's great. No, wonderful. Thank you. So, yeah, tonight... we've been doing Deserted Island Discs here live in Sheffield, and we've had Niall Hines in, who's, we're going to say you're from Mayo. He's a Mayo man, 100%, now living in Sheffield. And we've learned about his life that's took him to here. So we've got about a minute left, Niall, but just to talk about any plans for the future, or what do you think of the future?
Yeah, I suppose it'll be Sheffield for the time being. We've no immediate plans at this point. Sheffield's been fairly decent to us, and we're enjoying our time here. I suppose someday you never know. I'm a big believer in not planning too far in the future. Yeah. Whatever happens in the future, I look forward to it.
No, that's great. Well, no, thank you so much, Niall. It's been a lovely experience for me, and I hope you've enjoyed it too.
No, very much so.
Good, good. And so, as I say, next week, listeners, we'll be... the future formats is we're going to do 1 week having a guest on, and then the other week it'll be me playing music. But we're going to play songs from a track that was made live at the Dog and Partridge. So, for now, good night, everyone. Enjoy your...